Blog Talk Radio.
What if the armies of the Lord picked up and dusted off their swords, vowed to set the captive free, and not let Satan have one more? What if the church, for heaven's sake, finally stepped up to the plate? What if his people prayed? And those who bear his name would only seek his faith, yeah, and turn from their wrong ways. And what would happen if we prayed for those raised up to lead the way? Then maybe kids in school could pray, unborn children see light of day. What if the light that we pursue came from a hunger for the truth? What if the family turned to Jesus, stopped asking Oprah what to do? What if his people prayed? And those who bear his name would only think and turn from their own ways. He said that they would hear. His promise has been made. He'd answer loud and clear. Yeah. If only we would pray.
It's always interesting to see what Wild Bill comes up with for us in the way of our beginning music. He always comes up with something that's on the topic, and especially I think that he could have written that. That's exactly the kinds of things that he's been saying the last few days. We're really glad to have you here. I know there's a lot of ways and places you can choose to spend your time, and the fact that you're choosing to spend it here with us makes us really happy. I think that after this show, we'll be past our 1,000 listens, Wild Bill, that you know that I was kind of keeping an eye on, and we're very close to that, so I think this will be the one that pushes us over. If you're listening on the phone line and you want to join in, please press 1, and I'll see your hand come up, and I'll bring you online. If you're listening on the Internet, join us in the chat room. Wild Bill and I are both in there right now, and we can get your questions on that way if you're not on the phone line. But at any rate, we're really glad to have you here. Thank you for coming. And without further ado, I'll just let Wild Bill get into what our topic is for tonight, because I confess to not knowing very much about it, but he's going to educate us.
Well, I wouldn't say that I'm going to be doing a whole lot of education on this, but it's a topic that it really touched me in a lot of different ways when you get to thinking about the big world view versus just the United States view. And, of course, we all live here, so we judge everything from what we know and who we are and how we think everything should be. And one of the debates when you look at the book of Revelation is a lot of people don't believe that the church will go through the part of the tribulation because of the fact that it's God's bride and he wouldn't allow it to go through that persecution. But yet, right now, all back through our history, there's never been any change in certain parts of the world to people who want to call themselves followers of Christ from being persecuted. It's one of those things that because it's not happening so much here, it doesn't mean it's not happening. And that's one of the things that, you know, I've talked about before. There's a difference in being a separate people from things of the world and being a secluded people. And that's one of the things that I've always sort of had issue with in trying to close your mind off to things to where all of a sudden you can't even communicate to anything different than what you think you already know. And what got this all started with Blog Talk Mom had sent me a link to Fox did a show here, it's been about a month ago now, and we posted the link for everyone, and it was showing how that the Chinese government has went in and started closing down churches in China. Now, you have to understand they have what they call state-supported churches that they agree with, but they're not Christian-based churches from what I understand. And they've been allowing the Chinese people to kind of meet in their homes without a lot of persecution. But every time, I won't say without any, but it's less persecution. But then all of a sudden, at a drop of a hat, you know, the next thing you know, they're coming in, they're being beaten, hauled off to prisons, not heard of for years, people trying to figure out what's going on. And
you said there was a connection to that they were starting to grow, right? When they saw them getting big, they didn't
The actual article said they were targeting the larger church groups. And what I've been amazed to find out is how many hundreds of thousands of people in China are reaching out to have a personal relationship with their God. I was amazed to realize that. And it's my first thought on the mindset of this was, hey, right now, a lot of our companies are moving business to China. Just about everything you buy in grocery and Walmart stores and other big stores and everything, not just them, is made in China. And I know a lot of automotive parts are actually manufactured in China and shipped over here for assembly. You know, it's jobs that could be done here. So I thought, hey, we could get together and, you know, we could get the word out as to what's going on over there, and we could, you know, let our politicians know that, hey, something needs to be done. And, you know, and call these companies, you know, call the stores and stuff that's buying products and say, hey, we're not going to do business with you until this stops over there or you quit buying products from outside the U.S. I thought we got all this power because somehow or another the United States has got to the point we're not known for manufacturing. We're known for being consumers of products that's coming from all over the world. But in the research that Blog Talk Mom got into, she sent me some of it, and I'm sure she's going to share it in greater detail. The people there that are actually working with the people in China, there's some websites and things, we posted those links. They're encouraging us not to do what I was proposing to do because they said the Chinese government then becomes more brutal to the people over there, to the church people. But there again, there's two sides to every story. I found other websites that said that, you know, the same thing I was saying. They wanted to encourage us to come in and use the power that we have in this country to put pressure on there. So it's kind of hard, you know, from over here to get the total truth on everything. But the one thing both sides say, and that's why I picked the song that I picked, was put in that power of prayer. You know, pray about it. And that is, you know, our weapon. That is where we are most strong, is when we realize that it's not in our hands to actually do anything, but when we hand it over to God and say, God, I need your help. We need your wisdom. We need your guidance to come in and move on this situation. And it saddens me to think that sometimes we're so closed-minded because of the way things are here. We can have any religious belief you want to have in this country. And, you know, of any kind. And nobody's going to, I mean, you can practice witchcraft in this country. And nobody is going to go out there and ridicule you for what your belief is and and what you're celebrating. So we get so hardened to the fact to realize, I mean, when I was reading those articles, there's people that went to the hospital. They're not even telling us exactly what kind of condition there is, but, I mean, they were bad enough they went to the hospital, and there was no information of how many people died or how serious the injuries were, but some of the pictures that they showed was, from what I've seen here in the U.S., they were beat up pretty bad. I mean, they were just, I mean, beaten. And then their Bibles were taken out. The church was destroyed with them, and all their Bibles were burned. And, you know, you think, you know, why would a government with all the millions of people they have over there care about this? But then the other side of that is, and I'm not trying to be one of these alarmist type people to look at the negative of everything, but when you look at the big picture, if a seed is planted in one place and then something grows from it, and then the wind grabs the pollen from that and it spreads, that's how things happen with plants, and that's how a lot of things happen with styles, with the trends of everything else. It could end up being the same thing someday in this country. And so we don't want to take it for granted, and definitely, you know, we'd want the Chinese people to pray for us if something like that happened. But I'm hoping that Blog Talk Mom is going to got her hand raised. She has some real interesting history on this to show that this, how the United States did respond to something like this that happened, I think, back in the late 60s.
Let's see. Clicking on her. Got new internet there. Her mic is open. I will say that the Chinese have a lot of human rights problems, even not related to Christianity, because don't forget what they did to the Tibetans. And they weren't Christian, but they were peace-loving, and they were just doing their own thing, and the Chinese came in and massacred them. They didn't even fight back, you know.
That's absolutely. I ran across a lot of other groups that were just slaughtered for nothing. I mean, they're
mean.
They're very brutal with anything that might raise itself up against their government. Obviously, it would be interesting if you'd like to. Reverend Linda Kaiser is on the phone, I think, also, and this all came to me when there was an article in our newspaper, and I read the article, and then I didn't know what to do with it. I knew I wanted to get more information, and she pointed out that I could go to the Associated Press, and from there I found just several unbelievable links. There's a China Aid, just CHINAAID, China Aid. .org, and then from there are just many websites. They also have some reenacted videos of the torture that goes on with one of their attorneys, and I couldn't watch that. I guess I'm just a squeamish person, but
we take their word for it.
I'll take the word for it. But then I could watch the videos of how they've gone in and shoved down the churches with bulldozers and caused the people to lose their jobs and put pressures on that they're evicted from their homes, and just a lot of persecution. So would you like to hear some about that first article?
Well, I'd like for you to go back. Well, if you want to go to that there, you can, but I want you to go back to the history part of it, too, to the first person that was working.
In the 1960s?
Yes.
Well, and that's when I gave my heart to the Lord. There was...
Let me interrupt you for a minute, Mama. I think my new phone is making a big echo. I'm going to hang up and just listen and be in the chat room.
Well, I might be. I hope it's not me. I did it last time, but I've turned off all my...
We switched to AT&T, and the phone is through them, too, and everything. So I'll hang up. If it doesn't get better, I'll call back in, but I'm listening.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Okay. The Jesus movement started, there were just some of the most outstanding revivals that swept through the United States. And the Western world was very stirred about the stories that they heard about the persecution in China, especially one man in particular named Watchman Nee, N-E-E. And this man's testimony and the fact that he spent 19 years in prison, he was never seen again. But even after 14 years, he was offered freedom, and he would have to denounce his walk with God, and he did not. They put him back in for 5 more years. But that's an outstanding story. We may go to that a little bit later. But the Western world has always been, I believe God gave us the blessings that we have and the freedom that we have so that we'd be an extension of the love of God. And in Matthew, the 24th chapter, this really confirms this, because the Lord is saying at the end of time that the judgment, when you stand before the Lord, he said that they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And so we see this happening everywhere. And many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And but it also says that he's going to look at us and he's going to say, I was in prison and you visited me, or you did not visit me. And they're going to say, well, when were you in prison that we didn't visit you? And so we in America must realize that if our brethren in other countries are being persecuted and imprisoned, then that's the body of Christ. That's Christ. And we remember when Paul saw his vision, the voice said, why persecutest thou me? And so who Paul was persecuting was the body of Christ. And so we are linked with these people, and we are compelled by love and by the Spirit of God to call their name in prayer, to get involved. And these websites give you many, many ways that you can become involved in helping these people. They say prayer. They put prayer at the very beginning of everything. And then they talk to you about these people need to be encouraged. You can actually write letters. You can they'll give you addresses of people, of the families and the victims. Also, the Voice of the Martyrs, I read something today. They claim that 490 people a day are martyred for the cause of the Lord, for Christianity. So this is a very serious thing, and you can go to their website at www.persecution.com. And these are very interesting, and I'm very happy that our country is a country where this has not been shut down, that we do have access to this information.
Yeah, it's one of the interesting things about the Internet. I don't know if you've heard, but there was a massive earthquake today, and they were talking about the way they could get news as to what happened, and that area was off the Internet. So it's amazing that what the World Wide Web has done to make people keep in touch with everybody.
Your phone is breaking up. Can you hear that?
Yeah, I don't know if you got your computer turned up, because it's doing the same thing it did when we were doing that before.
I'm going to go to another room then. I've got everything turned off, but I'm going to go to another room because it seems like it is my computer. So here I go.
This is a little bit off topic, but it goes with what Wild Bill was saying at the beginning about... by the way, I'm back. I called in on my cell phone. What he said about us, and it kind of touches on what you were saying about feeling a responsibility, just because we're okay and there's nothing happening to us, we need to feel that responsibility for other places. I heard an interview with this man who was in, you'll love him, Molly, because he was Jewish. He was in Israel in 1947. He was a little kid, and there was no work. They got, like, very, very, very little food. It was rationed out, and very little food, like a loaf of bread, and it had to last them for the week. That was what they had to eat and things like that. But he came to America 10 years after that, I think, in 1956. But he still, even though he's a grown man now, every single time he goes to the grocery store, and he loves to go to the grocery store, he's just overwhelmed by, when he was little, he thought of it as a city of food. He couldn't believe that anywhere there was a city of food. And that really laid it on my heart to renew my desire to be grateful for how much we have. It's so easy to start complaining, and of course we have pain and we have trouble. I know Wild Bill has had a lot of challenges, ups and downs. Being on vacation was good, but he's had, you know, I know there are things that are hard to go through, but still and yet, we are so blessed in this country.
I think so, too. Were you going to share a little bit about when that man was in prison, or do you feel another way to go with Mom?
Well, everything about Watchman Nee, and I didn't know that YouTube has just done.
I'm going to interrupt one more time, Mama. Richie, it's you who's echoing, not Mama this time. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it always makes somebody, you're echoing, too. It makes everybody else.
Yeah, I am.
I'm gone, though. I mean, I'm out of.
Yeah, it's not you. Well, you want me to hang up since this is a cell phone?
Well, no, just, I mean, I don't know. It may be just a bug with their system, too. You know, we didn't have any echoes, and now you and I are both echoing. I don't know.
It could
what
be.
We got to get out of the Grand Canyon. You just do all the talking, Mama. You're clear.
Well, if if your speakers are on, that's what I found out with mine. But Watchman Nee was one of the most remarkable young men that you'll ever read about. Joy bought me some books one time I was sick years and years ago, and I hadn't heard of him. I mean, it was a long time ago. And I think the very first book I read was Sit, Walk, and Stand, that sounds so simple. But, you know, a lot of times we want to walk, we want to go, we want to do, we want to take a great stand, but it has to start from sitting in the presence of God. And even the first statement that you made, Wild Bill, was one that he had made in one of his quotes. He said a lot of people just, they want to get away from the world, you know, like the Essenes. They want to separate themselves in that way. But he said to be other world-minded is what God looks for. So your mind is in, you know, for the things of God and the kingdom of God. And then wherever you are, you will be a great influence. And in this young man, when he was in prison, he would was sort of like the story we hear about Paul the Apostle, but he would convert his the guards all through the prison. And they said he had a beautiful baritone voice. And even after they would take him out and beat him or torture him in some way, he would go back to his cell, and in his beautiful baritone voice he would begin to sing. And it wasn't like a hymn, but it would be from the Spirit of God speaking to him and through him and to encourage the other prisoners. And they said he had one of the most beautiful smiles. And he said any time that he started to feel dejected, all he had to do was look to Calvary, to look to his Savior. And, he's one of the most inspiring, everything about his books. But in the foreword of this book, Heroes of the Faith, that I have, it called Watchman Nee, A Man of Suffering. And I could just read you a little portion of this. It said that at the last time, after they had sent him back, when he wouldn't denounce the Lord, he was violently mistreated. And so now his shattered right arm twisted at an impossible angle. The prisoner pulled himself awkwardly from the floor to his cot. He gasped for breath, his failing heart pounding through his chest. Over 6 feet tall and reasonably healthy at the time of his arrest, he now weighed less than 100 pounds. A coughing fit seized him, and he accidentally knocked his fractured arm against the wall. Pain shot through his entire right side. His eyes filled with involuntary tears. He raised himself up on his one good arm, and through gritted teeth, he smiled. It could be worse, he thought. I have not yet suffered to the point of shedding blood, he quoted St. Paul. And there is still the song. There will always be the song. And his song was, just a few more miles, beloved, and our feet shall ache no more. No more sin and no more sorrow. Hush thee, Jesus went before. And I hear him sweetly whispering, faint not, fear not, still press on, for it may be over tomorrow. The long journey will be done. And at that point, he converted his guard that was with him that night. So that's just such a great inspiration, because the Lord has told us that we, it's just very plain from the Scripture that we will be persecuted. Not we might be persecuted, but in fact, the Scripture says, "Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." I don't like to hear that. I refrain from pain or suffering, but the little bit, tiny bit that I've had in my life, I can testify that God was with me and never left me and was very more real in my suffering than in any other time. Did you get to read anything about Watchman Nee, Wild Bill?
A little bit today, not a whole lot. It's just I can see how different it was with the churches in that time. You know, there was a lot, like you say, it even caused the deeper religious movement in this country when they were aware of what was happening over there. He reminds you so much of Paul when you read about the torture he went through and how many of his guards, you know, he prayed through just by, you know, the what people saw in him. You know, to see a man tortured and beaten and misfigured is not something that anyone would look upon, but because of what was inside of him, that's what the people saw that they were drawn to. And, you know, you get to thinking, you know, wow. And there again, you go back to this thing, you know, of what to do. Some of the websites that do not, you know, contact people, but then on the same website, they have a thing where you can click on it to contact the Chinese embassy here in the United States. It's some of that.
Everything I read said do contact them, but contact them in love. And not in a demanding, argumentative way, but in a spirit of humility, and it would be more effective. That's actually what I read. And they do have a page on that one I mentioned a while ago that gives you, all kinds of ways to, and they want money, too, if you can afford to send offerings, because the attorneys and, you know, there's financial needs in anything you do like that.
Yeah. I think a lot of it has to do, if you're up on your culture with, like, the Japanese and the Chinese people, they're very proud people, and they like to be dealt with respect. And I think that's what you're trying to get across there. Make your point, but do it in a respectful manner instead of like we would do here in our country where we stand things, you know, like we're better than someone or something. So,
that's a good point, Wild Bill. I didn't see that until you said it that way, but that is a real, real good point.
You know, they probably have to be very careful how they word it, you know, on their website, and so that's why they didn't, mention it that way. So they don't want to draw barriers between cultures when you ask for help.
And Joy, when she was mentioning that about how they've treated other religious people, also brought to my mind of the, I don't know the statistics, I was going to look this up, about how many little girl babies that they kill. They only allow them to have so many children, and now I'd read an article that there is a problem now because there's more men than there are women, because they kill so many little girl children. And all of that just sounds bizarre to us in the United States. I don't know. But it seems to somehow fit into prophecy. There was one of the articles they had was they have this, it's like a band that you wear around your hand, and it says, "Pray for China." It's in Chinese and it's in English. And you can get one of those if it gives you a point of something to share with other people. It says here that China has the largest and fastest growing evangelical Christian community on the whole face of the earth. And though China's constitution guarantees religious freedom, house church Christians are harassed, beaten, arrested, humiliated, tortured, and even killed for their faith. And yet this information rarely makes the nightly news or local newspapers. So, like you were saying, there's a false, like there was in Russia, there's a front, big front that they put on that's not really the way it is. And most of us probably have no idea of what's going on in other countries. If what I've read today, it's overwhelming. And like Joel was saying, I mean, we are so blessed. I mean, we can complain. I can complain if I don't have enough ice in my tea or something. I mean, just something silly, not, you know, consistently, I hope. But do I have that? Not only be grateful for what the blessings I have, but be willing to share my time and my heart and whatever it would need to help these people.
Yeah. We got another caller in here. The last four numbers, 7473, you're on the air.
Well, thank you, Wild Bill. This is me. And
How do you do, me?
Hello there. This thing with China is not a thing we should take lightly. As your mother was saying, and as I have written for me, the article that came out in our local paper on December the 11th, it talks about how they dismantled the largest church in China, which was had like 50,000 worshipers in the gritty heart of China's coal country. And like hundreds of police and hired thugs they hired thugs to go in there and dismantle an eight-story building church, smashing doors and windows and seizing Bibles and sending dozens of workers to the hospitals with serious injuries. I tell you what, that's going on today.
Yeah.
I mean, we're over here, we're so blessed and we're so far removed from that, but we do need to pray for all of our countries that are still like under communistic control. I know that we are in bed with China. A lady went through Walmart recently and tried to find one item that was not made in China. She did not find one, not one in the whole store. When I told Sister Lively a couple days ago that Sam Walton could we just turn over in his grave. He founded Walmart on the principle of everything being American made. But see, we've sold out. I did hear on the news today that we're going to have some car manufacturers coming back to Detroit, some from Mexico and some from China, so they can do the hybrid kind of cars. So that's going to create about 1,000 jobs. So that's good. Somebody says, well, Americans don't want to work, but we want to work, but we want to bring all of our industry back to our country. We have no manufacturing hardly at all, very little. Everything is sold out. But China is still, with all due respect, with this China, our organization alone, we have a lot of missionaries in China right now, some that were started years ago with a brother and Nathaniel Urshan's dad, but Andrew David Urshan. So they are there. We had a thing of our conference this past conference. I spoke with a lady from China. But the Chinese really still want to be Christian. Let me read this to you, please. It said, more and more Chinese are opting to choose their own churches, despite them being technically illegal and subject to police harassment. Christians worshiping in China's independent church are believed to number upwards of 60 million compared to about 20 million who worship in this church, according to numbers provided by scholars and church activists. House churches have been around for decades, but that's what our group does. They go there and they start house churches. But we've had some of them to be abused and threatened. But it's just a thing. Thank God for America, even as bad as it gets here sometimes.
Yeah.
So we need to pray for all of our friends around the world and pray for our nation. You know, our nation is almost a godless nation. But then we think that when we read something like this, and say, well, maybe we're not quite as godless as we think we are. But I know America needs to pray for itself and pray and help those who really, really are actively being the co-pastors of that mega church are right now in jail. They said this is the largest comeback from the government toward churches in decades. This is the first attack in decades of this magnitude. So things are beginning to happen. Maybe the church world here in America can wake up and get a hold of the Lord and let some things happen for the good.
Well, one of the things I noticed when they were hosting the Olympics, you know, they made this great effort to show that they were a friendly nation and a friendly people, and, you know, open for our people to be able to go over there and, you know, walk the street safely. And they did have certain areas they were told to stay away from, and areas that, you know, would, you know, be better. Of course, we got some of the same problems if you were to go to our major cities. So it's not, you know, totally, you know, we can understand that. But it seems like after that, and that all happened, and I was amazed. I was trying to get some of the numbers today to how many of the Chinese banks and conglomerates in China actually own our farmland now.
They really do?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about over 50% of our farms are now owned by these huge conglomerates, which all the money is based out of China. And,
right.
you know, all they'd have to do is foreclose on us to cut off our own food supply.
You know,
that's kind of a scary thought.
Well, the stimulus money, that three-quarters of it came from China. All the government-funded stimulus money that we just had in our country came from China. They say that we owe China up into the billions of dollars.
That's something to think about.
It really is. When you think about it, hey, they own us. I know right here in Madison, Mississippi, they've got a huge plot of land they're preparing for some Chinese plant. And I don't know what they're going to be manufacturing. They have a manufacturing Chinese plant here in Mississippi soil by in just another year and a half or so. I mean, just coming right in our front door.
Huh. That's interesting. Did you have anything else on the topic that you wanted to share, what you looked up on the history or anything of this, or... I know you watched that torture video all the way through, and I guess I'm kind of like Mom. I watched when it first got into it there. I was like, yeah, that's a little bit more than what I want to get into right now. But, I mean, we're not talking about they're going up there and just, you know, slapping these people on the back of the hands and, you know, hitting them on the back of the head or throwing cold water on them. We're talking about real torture. And it's, you know, like you say, we are so blessed in this country, and what Joyce hits, and I have to endure that, but still, it shouldn't be that hard of a thing for us. I had people send me emails. They wanted to know, well, what denomination are they? What faith? And I thought, okay, they're claiming Christ as their personal Savior. I don't know where they are in their walk. I don't know what 100% of their belief is, but shouldn't that be enough for us to want to be stirred, to put them on our altar?
That's right. Listen to this, brother. It says, the closure of what may be China's first megachurch is the most visible sign that the communist government is determined to rein in the rapid spread of Christianity with a crackdown in recent months that church leaders call the harshest in years. They describe the actions against churches as stemming from land disputes, but the congregations under attack are most of the most successful in China's growing house church movement. I'm telling you, it's almost knocking on our back door, per se. And we need to pray for our leaders in the Vatican, to pray for our leaders and pray that they would be moved and turn toward the Lord so that we can help these Chinese Christians that are, because they're flooding in our country just as fast as they can, you know, and they've been here for years, but they're still coming more because there are some that really want to serve the Lord. And we have some Hindus in our area that, in fact, there was one that came to church this past Sunday night. And I just kept I rarely ever just turn around, but everybody was kind of standing up anyway. And I glanced back. He had his head bowed and his hand stretched out. And I thought, wow. So later that night, I went to Walmart. He was standing, he runs the subway in the Walmart. He was standing outside, and I went up to him and I said, we were so happy to have you at service tonight. He said, oh, my heart got warm. It got real warm. So there you are. I believe we have an open door. I told him, I said, if you ever want to feel better and want to know more, please, I'd like to share it with you. So I know a preacher in Modesto, California, that has had the entire Bible translated into Hindu language, and I'm going to try to get one and teach him what it says in his own language.
That would be great.
The Bible, yeah. So, but they're here. They're here in this part of Mississippi. So we're praying to God to open doors for us.
Amen. Block Talk, Mom, did you have some more to add to this?
I was agreeing with Sister Kaiser. They called tonight, and he's really wanting –
the Bible in his language, and he's very excited about the music and about what he felt. It was just wonderful. One of the things, one of the papers here, it said that during the Olympic Games that there was an illusion created by the Chinese government, and it was very successful to make people think that they have religious freedom. So it's they're saying here from this China Aid website that it's critical for us to expose the truth to Christians everywhere, you know, to let them know what really is going on. And so they said that our voice is extremely a powerful weapon for those that are being persecuted. And they had a list here. They said if you speak out on behalf of those that are persecuted, begin with prayer, be polite, as you mentioned before, demonstrate respect, avoid politics. If you're requesting a particular prisoner's release or humane treatment, stick with legal or moral reasons. And they have one man that they're especially, the one that they did the video about, because he had stood up to try to help people that had been put in prison, and then they put him in prison. Agree when you can. For example, we all agree that ideas are powerful, but the government need not fear Christian ideas, and reassure them that they should be glad to have a growing Christian population. Reiterate that Christians are taught to pray for those in authority and to honor them. And request, do not demand. Point out benefits the official may not have considered. For example, if China granted its Christian population complete religious freedom, its overall productivity would increase, because Christians are taught to work as though they are serving the Lord. And they need to hear this. They need to be, we can't say that too much, because what we say will have effect, and God will bless it if our spirit is right. And there's just so many wonderful websites, links with this, that gives you information. And I hope that everyone listening, and that we will keep it, write it down, and when we're in the course of conversation, instead of talking about who won what at the whoever's, you know, let's talk about what's pertinent for eternity.
That's true, too.
Yes.
May I say this, Brother Richard?
Okay.
His phone's cutting out, I think.
I don't know what's going on with the system, but go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just want to say that this paper says that the Chinese do have religious freedom. They have religious freedom to go to a Chinese-operated church, governmentally controlled church. They do not have freedom to have their own church.
But do you know what that is? I mean, I couldn't get any information.
It's in their law. It's written in the Chinese law that they have freedom of religion. But what is not written, it is implied but not stated or written, is the fact that they have the freedom to go to a Chinese governmental church, but you do not have the freedom to go to an independent church.
Right. So what are the Chinese-controlled churches teaching? I mean, that's the one of the things I was trying to find today, and I couldn't.
It's been my understanding that they don't teach about Christ. They may say the word two or three times. Like I said, I spoke to a Chinese lady at a conference, and the Chinese dictators, the Chinese leaders, it's all about the Red Nation. It's all about, that's the only kind of red they talk about. We've preached about the blood. They preach about the red, you know, the Communist Party. They will tell you, if you get caught, they will tell you, like they told that young man, they just breathe in his face, you know, you are not this religion. You are communist. We are communists, and we will. And they told how they would, you know, what they would do to him. And I watched them do a reenactment. It still goes on. Communism is alive. And that's, we have to just admit that. It doesn't make us mean people. We're just saying they pull the wool over a lot of people's eyes all the time, but they are still the core, as it was years and years and years ago when communism was at the forefront.
Yeah. Yeah, they pulled the wool over everybody's eyes. They had some kind of hearings I saw in there with, I can't remember, it's the World Evangelical League or something like that, and they were giving them tours of the churches to show them that, you know, they were granting religious freedom, but this other person that was showing this, that's really not true, because the only church groups, they didn't go to any of the home churches. They didn't talk to any of the people in the congregations. They just talked to the leadership of the people in the state-approved, state-ran churches. And he said it is so different than what, you know, like you say, you don't mention Christ or anything about Jesus at all. It's strictly, and it's control. It's to give people the illusion of, yeah, I'm going to church, I'm a good person, without actually getting into the meat of the word because they don't even have the Bible. And so it's also like politics here. There's left and right, and it's hard to tell. The truth is somewhere in the middle. So
I tell you how they're doing it for us. I know a Pentecostal Jesus name preacher, I'm not going to call his name. But he goes to China. He preaches there. But what he does, they talk in code, and they do, like, for instance, oh, hello, John. They email, hello, John. It may not be his name. Just wanted you to know your friend said to tell you hello. Your friend. Talking about Jesus. Your friend says he'll do anything for you. If you ever need him, just call him. You see? So they do this. And so then they say, oh, by the way, how many did you have at your pool party? The pool party is the baptizing. So we do have methods and manners. And so the real truth is getting out, although we're not going up there slamming them about Jesus' name, baptism, or whatever. They were talking in code, and they're getting it. They are really getting it. The last time I talked to this preacher, or heard him talk, rather, he said we now have about 68 in that one congregation that has been baptized in Jesus' name in a pool, just in a swimming pool. And they go in a swimming party, and they just converse back and forth. He's in the States now, but they still make contact, and they're still winning souls to this truth. I think that's awesome.
It is. Isn't it sad, though, with all the luxuries that we have to go to a church that's either, you know, it's heated and air-conditioned and padded pews and, you know, the services are not like what they used to be as far as, you know, staying in the altars and travailing in church, and you still can't get a lot of people to want to dedicate themselves to live for God, and yet you have these people in China where they're going, if they get caught for what they're doing, they're going to be persecuted for it in a way that I don't think we actually can understand persecution here. I remember everybody was so upset when that boy was arrested in that. I can't remember what country he was in now, where they were going to take the bamboo rods and spank him across his back end. You know, the whole nation was stirred up and got involved with that. And yet we got people that just because of their religious faith, where they believe in God, that they know that if the state decides to come down on them, that, you know, they can confiscate their property. I mean, one of those churches they were showing where they went in and did a search, they actually destroyed the whole inside of the church. So, I mean, you can face that happening to your home. It was talking about where they seized money, they seized, you know, personal property and things, and that large church group that they closed. So it is something to take very serious, because if you allow it to happen one place, and like we've talked about before, we're so indebted to China right now.
Oh.
And we're setting, well, actually, we're not setting anything in place. God's allowing things to happen according to the wickedness that's in men's hearts. And greed has become the number one thing in money. And so it's all going in that direction. It reminds me of a clock that's been wound too many times, and it still keeps time, but it gets to losing time. It gets slower and slower and slower. And it's a lot making a copy of a copy, and after a while you can't tell what the original was. I'm so concerned that in this church world that we live in today, that we are missing out on so much of what was in the original relationship that God wanted with his people. And a lot of it has to do with our lack of concern for anything that doesn't happen within our church family or within our state or, you know, even here in the United States. I mean, we get so separated from it. And like Joy was saying, it's not just the Christian people they persecute over there. They want it to be strictly in the churches that they can control what's being said from the pulpits. And that's dangerous. That is very dangerous. But I do want to encourage everybody to, I put the links on the Blog Talk page on Facebook. It's called Your Place. And it's the word your with a hyphen place in it. And you can go and look at those and do, like I said, send the letters to the embassies, share it with the leadership in your churches to let them know about this. And at least, I mean, all you got to do is just put your name, your email address, and your personal address to let them know that, you know, you're for real. They got to have somewhere to verify, you know, who these people are and put them on a petition. and they're placing these names before the courts. I got attorneys just trying to help these people, and they are asking for money too for those that can afford to give a one-time offering or a monthly support. You know, they're asking you to do this. So it's one of those things we're not going to be able to fix on this program, but it is something I wanted to let everyone be aware of, that we do have brothers and sisters that because of faith are in harm's way, and that, you know, it ain't that big a thing for us to just find a little extra time on our knees in our prayer time and just pray for our brothers and sisters around the world, just like we do for our troops. You know, it's just one of those things, you don't have to know them by name, but you can just, you know, God knows it all. But he's going to look at the sincerity of our heart to see if we really do have that spirit of wanting to intercede for these people. And a lot of times when we do that, now I lay me down to sleep prayer stuff, that's not getting it done. That's not really placing things on the altar. That's not really getting serious to say, you know, Lord, you know, this is something I really care about, because God sees our hearts. And so it's not just a few words you say. It's one of those things that we need to pray that God gives us more of a burden for what's going on and what's happening. And like you said, you know, the leadership in this country, there's two or three different scriptures that makes it clear that we're to pray for our leaders. And I've seen it time and time again to where God can take something where it's looking like it's going to be something one way, and when God's power intervenes, it ends up being something totally different. And so we have to understand that he is 100% in control, but he responds to our faith and what we ask him to do. It's not just one of those things like, well, God knows, he's going to take care of it. Did you have anything else to add, Blog Talk Mom?
You've pretty well covered it, and I'm really appreciative that you've allowed this time and brought this to the forefront, because there are scriptures that tell us about how the earth actually groans because of the iniquity and the sin that and the way that we have turned from the laws of God. And just like this thing in Haiti, I just feel like it showed one video back about the Chinese, where they, just as far as you could see, they were worshiping and praying and crying out to God, and God's going to hear that. I mean, he hears that, and he's going to move and undertake for these people, and their courage and their just the pureness of their worship. And I think it's a voice crying out to us in the free world to get more serious about our, like you mentioned a while ago, they take their Bibles, they destroy them, they persecute them and punish them if they find them with Bibles, and they take them away. But here we have probably a Bible in every room, and do we really spend time in the Word of God? And it stirred my soul today to draw as close to God as I can and to remember those that are in prison, my fellow brethren, and for the suffering all throughout the world, that we will pray and believe God to deliver them. And if in no other way, as he said in Revelation, Lord, come quickly, come quickly. If that's the solution, then Lord, come quickly.
Yeah, my heart is turned that way a little bit, but then I think of lost family and things that, you know, I'm still, you know, believing there's going to be a miracle in their lives. So it's like, it's like a strain pulling you both ways, you know, when you look at all the hardships and everything. But I can't imagine undergoing this persecution if you're going to. And that kind of goes off into where next week our topic is going to be on what is a righteous man, prophet or woman. Who do want Sister Kaiser to come back and say I was one of those people who didn't believe in preachers. But I'm teasing you there, Sister Kaiser. But, you know, that's one of those things. There's several scriptures that talk about, you know, the prayers of a righteous man, the steps of a righteous man. And, you know, a lot of times, I don't know about you, but I ask why, probably more than I should, you know, things that, you know, I try to give God control over, but yet I feel like I'm not getting the response that I should be getting. And so in my personal life, I got to thinking, well, let's just go back to the basics of all this, you know, and the Bible talks about, you know, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And I thought, you know, if my prayers don't seem like they're going where they should be going or something like that. Of course, I do understand that God's in control of all things, and he knows what I need more than I do, you know, versus what I want. And so I'm not trying to, you know, supersede God's grace and knowledge because he knows me better than I do. But I do think that it's going to be an interesting topic to look at to see the actual definition of what is a righteous man, a righteous woman. You know, what is it? What does it take to be considered righteous? And I'm hoping we get a lot of response on that next week because I think this is one of those things, you know, like I was really feeling on, there's a whole lot of I lay me down to sleep prayers in our little grace that we say for meals and things. But to really be sincere, you know, it's when it's your family that's in harm's way or hurting, it's not real hard to get in that, you know what I'm talking about, that gear where you pray and you really mean what you're saying versus with someone you don't know or you don't have any relations to and it's hard to relate to their situation to pray because we're automatically, and God warned us about this, we want to judge everybody. Well, you know, they got to do some things within themselves a little bit. I can see this, 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 and this. And so, but that's not what God called us to do. He wants us to use that, the power of prayer and turn that loose in people's lives. So I'm curious to see what everyone comes up next week on what your definition is of a righteous man or woman and kind of look at that a little bit to see if we're slipping a little bit. And we're getting down here to the last few minutes of the show. I do want to remind everybody that alert1supplements.com, that's the word alert, the number one, supplements.com, is hosting a contest with us to where anybody that wants to put their New Year's resolution on our Your Place page on Facebook, they can do that. And just what you do is you go to the discussion, click on start a topic, put your name in there, and put New Year's resolution or put New Year's contest or something like that. And then below that, enter what your New Year's resolution is, what you're working on, and then and give updates. Let us know, you know, how you're doing, if you're struggling. Or what I know is when it seems like there's some accountability for something or when people are watching out or listening to what you have to say, it sort of holds you to your course a little bit better than just being out there alone to where they just kind of fade to the side. And this is going to run through to the end of June. And then in July, we're going to be sending out, for everyone to take part in that, gift certificates that are good for a 3-day, 2-night vacation for two people. And there's resorts all across the United States. I think there's even some in Canada, if I'm not mistaken, that you can use that for. So I want to remind everybody about that, so please take part. And I had someone try to trick me on telling them on Facebook what the discount code was for this month. If you go to the alert1supplements.com website and then use the coupon code MOM, because I did that in honor of being my mother turned 70 years old this month, and she threw us all a great birthday party to go spend time with her. And so that's going to be the password to get your extra 10% discount. Also, if you purchase 5 pounds or more of protein, you get a refundable. Does anybody else have anything they want to say?
Yeah, I want to say this to you about the praying man, the praying woman. Hey, listen, I was preaching revival down South Louisiana one time, and this one man in the congregation didn't believe in women preachers because I was there because the pastor asked me to come. At any rate, he walked up, his face was red. He said, "How in the world can you be a son of God?" And I mean, just like that, the Lord put my mouth, "Yes, sir, I'm a son of God the same way you're the bride of Christ."
I'm sure he didn't have much of a comeback for that. Did you know anything you wanted to
say? Yes. I think it's great that you're going to do this about righteousness, a righteous man, because that scripture that I quoted earlier from Matthew 5, it says, "Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." You know, it's not just getting your nose mashed because you got up in somebody's face. But if we do suffer persecution for righteousness' sake, we need to know what that means. And I'm really looking forward to that. I really love our programs. I miss Joy. We're going to have to figure out what all these echoes are so we don't have those next time.
It has something to do with your phone because when I cut your mic off, nobody else, and it don't echo on you. It's just on everybody else. So I don't know what it is, but it's just it didn't do it for a long time. I don't know.
Well, I'm back here in the back.
Where you live.
It's still from my phone?
Yeah, when I cut off your mic, the charger wasn't echoing anymore, and neither was I. So when I turn you back on, it's broken.
Well,
I'm sorry about that. Should I get a different phone?
I'm not really sure. You know, it may be your phone service, but I'm not really sure what it is.
How much time do we have?
Like 1 second.
Oh, I could call back on my cell phone and see if it stopped. Can you?
I don't think it'd let you call in now. We just the time click off. So,
okay.
But I do want to thank all of you that did call in and the things that you shared with us. And I pray that you all have a blessed night. This is going to be a blessed year for us. And I really believe that we're going to see something major happen in the spiritual world in 2010. So I'm just excited to see what this is going to be. So y'all have a good night. I'll see you later.